That's great. Thank you. Good morning. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you know, we've been going through this series through the Old Testament book of Judges. And so today we're taking a break from that. It's funny, Janice and I met over the summer to kind of plan our calendar for the year. And it's just as well that today and next Sunday I get to preach as our pastor mourns the loss of his home team. We'll give him a break so that he can reconsider his loyalties. I'm kidding. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 31 through Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, and then Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Hear God's word to you this morning. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And this is Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your female or male servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Two of the most infamous words in kids' vocabulary, at least my kids, are, "I'm bored." You ever hear that? Right? If you've got kids or you've been around kids much, I'm sure it never changes, but you constantly hear that. I hear from Leah all the time, "I'm bored." "Well, Leah, go outside and play." "But I'm bored." "But you've got all these toys that you can play with." "But I'm bored." "Fine, go watch TV or do something with the iPad." "I'm bored." And it never stops. Now, what do they really mean when they say that? Why do they say that? Why is it such a big deal to be bored? Because it means we have nothing to do. And to have nothing to do actually rubs against the grain of what it truly means to be human, right? We were created to do, not just to be. And so we love to do. We love to work. We love to run. We love to create. We love to make and mold and form. There is something that is ingrained in us, keeping us from just standing still, from doing nothing, from just being. Now, if we're honest, this angst of being bored doesn't go away when we reach adulthood. In fact, we simply switch the terms from bored to rest, and we hate to rest. I know, it sounds like an oxymoron, but we do. Rest seems like such a waste of time. Most of us have a difficult time imagining a day devoted to rest. We admire, especially in our culture and society, people who work hard, who are type A driven personalities. We have weekend projects, maintaining home or a yard or a garden. We travel, we've got to watch TV, we've got ball games and family obligations and hobbies. There is way too much to do and too little time. And social media and Pinterest certainly don't help, and in fact exacerbate our dilemma exponentially. For too many of us, rest seems like such a waste of time. There is no time to rest. Yet, what we see through these passages that I just read, Genesis 1, Deuteronomy 5, and a couple other passages in the Older and Newer Testament, is that God commands Sabbath rest. Now, if you grew up Presbyterian, or, you know, you've heard this word before, maybe the word Sabbath, okay, has these negative connotations for you, right? It's like an old, archaic, maybe even legalistic term for you, right? Well, I want to actually put those fears and those anxieties to rest, okay? What you're not going to hear is some legalistic Bible thumping of why you need to rest, because that actually goes against the concept of what it means to have Sabbath, okay? Nevertheless, three things we'll see through these passages, okay? First, why we need rest. Second, where we get this rest. And third, how do we do it, right? So why we need it, where we get it, and how we do it. So first, why we need it. Now, contrary to popular North American evangelical Christian opinion, Sabbath was not something that either Israel or the Mosaic law came up with that was specific to them as a nation, right? That's the reason why I wanted us to read Genesis 1. Sabbath was not given at Sinai or the Mosaic law. It was codified there. In other words, most of us know that Sabbath is the fourth commandment, right, out of 10 commandments. But few of us know that that's actually not the first place in Scripture that it appears. And here's the point, right, the main question. Why did God command man and woman to rest while they were in the Garden of Eden? I mean, it's paradise, right? It's the Garden of Eden. Well, here's part of the answer. Work, again, contrary to popular opinion, was not given to man as punishment, right? As a curse because of the fall or because of sin. Many Christians believe that. But instead, work was given to man and woman as something good while they were in paradise, okay? So look at what God tells humans in Genesis chapter 1:26. This is right after he creates them, okay? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. All right, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, pay attention to the terms and to the phrases that God uses there as he speaks to man and woman after he creates them. A couple of observations. First, God gives humans several mandates here, okay? He commands them to do certain things, right? There's the procreation mandate, be fruitful and multiply. There's the cultural mandate, fill the earth and subdue it. And then there's the stewardship mandate, have dominion over the birds, the fish, every other living thing. And the point is God tells humans, there's work to do. I've created you. There's work for you to do, so get going. Second, however, right after this, look at what God did. And this is where our part of the text there comes in your bulletin. God saw all that he had made. It was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, another vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God rested. The all-powerful, never sleeping, almighty, all-knowing God, creator Yahweh of the universe, rested. Now, Walter Brueggemann, who's an Old Testament scholar, writes that divine rest, that divine rest on the seventh day of creation has made clear, A, that Yahweh is not a workaholic. B, that Yahweh is not anxious about the full functioning of creation. And C, that the well-being of creation does not depend on endless work. Now think about the implications of this, right? He gives rest, first God does, to himself, then to Adam and Eve. And only many centuries later, he gives this to Israel through the Mosaic law. And the implication being that Sabbath rest is for the whole world. How do we know that? Well, look at the other passage we read, Deuteronomy 5, right? But the Sabbath day, verse 14, is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and your female servants may rest as you do. Remember, This is how God finishes this section. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. If Sabbath was just under Mosaic law, if it just applied to Israel, then why does God say, no, I want your servants to rest. I want your children to rest. I want your animals to rest. I even want the foreigners, the immigrants, the others that are in your communities, in your towns, in your nation. I also want them to rest. Why? Because remember that you were slaves. Here then is the answer to the why we need it. Why do we need Sabbath? Because without Sabbath, without rest, we're actually slaves. See, God makes Sabbath a part of the Ten Commandments after he delivers Israel from Egypt. Remember that? And he instructs them to keep the Sabbath as a sign of the covenant. In other words, God makes a covenant with Israel, and he says, do you want proof that what I'm saying is true? Do you want proof that my promises are real? Do you want proof that I love you by sheer grace and mercy and compassion? This is proof. I've given you Sabbath. I've given you rest, a day out of the week where you can take off and just be. Sabbath is proof that God has delivered his people from all of their masters, including the master of workaholism. God takes the day of rest for his people so seriously, in fact, in the Old Testament, that the community is supposed to put to death anybody who doesn't rest, who doesn't take a day of Sabbath. Now, it's unlikely this happened often, if at all, but think about the implications, right? Rest is serious business, but what this means is this. Rest is God's grace to humans. Without rest, we're actually still slaves. Tim Keller writes, anyone who overworks is really a slave. Anyone who cannot rest from work is a slave. You're a slave to a need for success, to a materialistic culture, to exploitative employers, to parental expectations, or to all of the above. These slave masters will abuse you if you are not disciplined in the practice of Sabbath rest. Sabbath is a declaration of freedom. We need rest because work can become a slave master. And God wants us to be free from all masters. And therefore, he commands his people to rest. Now, listen to what I'm not saying, right? And I was going to get to this later, but I'll say it now. I'm not saying there aren't seasons where you've got to put in the time, right? You're starting a new job. You've got a new employer. You know, your kids are growing. You've got teenagers, maybe little kids. Like, you're obviously on this mode where you've got to get a client or a business started or whatever. I get that. But the problem is when it becomes not a season, but a way of life that prolongs itself in a way that actually makes a slave to whatever expectation or idea we have. There are seasons, and I get that. But it shouldn't be the norm, but the exception. So, first, why we need it. Second, where we get it, okay? Where do we get this rest? Second, where do we get it? Now, the solution is not to stop working for your old boss, right? Primarily, the solution is to begin resting in and for your new boss. Listen to how God puts it right after he delivers Israel from slavery in Egypt, right? Exodus 19. You yourselves, he tells them, have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my commandment, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Okay. What's happening here? What's God going on about? Well, the people of Israel have just been delivered from bondage, right, from 400 years of slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. Think about that. No rest, no weekends, no vacations, no holidays, no retirement, no disability, no sick days, nothing for 400 years. and God delivers them. And one of the first things he tells them, you have to take one day every week to rest. Can you imagine these former slaves who have no concept of a weekend listening to Moses and say, wait, hold on. What is a weekend? What is a Sabbath? What is rest? What do you mean we have a day of rest? Yeah, you have a Sabbath day. Okay, but what do we have to do? Nothing. Okay, but what's the catch? Like, where do we have to go? There's no catch, nowhere. But, okay, fine, but why is God doing this? Because he loves you. Because you are his treasured possession. Because you are a kingdom of priests. Because you are a holy nation. Because he has carried you on eagle's wings to deliver you. That's why. See, Israel had to learn that freedom and rest is not just deliverance from something, but it's also deliverance for something or someone. See, in other words, God tells them, I've delivered you from Egypt, yes, but that doesn't mean you don't have a master. I am your new master. However, unlike your old master, I'm giving you rest. I carry you on eagle's wings. I show you my mercy and my love and my compassion for 1,000 generations. I keep my promises to you and to your children and to your children's children. Do you see what happened? It's not that Sabbath takes away your work. It's that it sets limits and boundaries around it. And your new master speaks these words to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Why? Because I take your burden away? No. Because I take the yoke away? No. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, Sabbath is more than just about external rest of the body. It is about internal rest of the soul. Sabbath does not begin with an external rest of the body. It begins with an internal rest of the soul. Eugene Peterson writes, Sabbath is not primarily about us or how it benefits us. It is about God and how God forms us. It's not in the first place about what we do or don't do. It's about God completing and blessing and sanctifying and resting. Our souls are formed by what we cannot work up or take charge of. We respond and enter into what the resurrection of Jesus continues to do. In other words, you cannot understand Sabbath rest until you realize what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Your external busyness is a sign of your internal distraction. When you are able to see what Jesus has done for you at the cost of his own life, you will never work to find your identity again. Because his work has bought your identity, you don't have to find your identity in how much value you bring to your company, in how many sales you make for your organization, in how many new customers and clients you keep happy each and every year. You can let go of that, not because it doesn't matter, but because it doesn't define your worth, your status, your place, and your value. Your identity is not your work. It's what Jesus has done for you that gives you your identity. But you have to get that identity. Do you have that identity? Do you understand that in Jesus, the creator of the universe, is infinitely happy with you? That he is infinitely satisfied with you? Think about this. Before Jesus had even started his ministry, before he had healed anyone, before he had called any of the disciples, God tells them at his baptism, you are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. Before. If you've placed your trust in Jesus, then you are God's sons and daughters. Why are you working so hard to gain his love? Why we need it, where we get it, how do we do it? So third, how do we do it, right? Because ultimately, how is all of this possible? When everyone around you is running at 1,000 miles per hour, when your boss expects you to have your notification settings on 24/7, when all your friends seem to have a Facebook, an Instagram, and Pinterest feed full of amazing pictures and quotes and stories and videos full of amazing things that their families are up to that day, that week, that month, that year, how do you keep up with it all? Well, you can't. And that's the first step. It's coming to grips with the fact that there will always be one more task to complete, one more project to acquire, one more business to partner with, one more email to send. There will always be more unfolded laundry, more unchecked items on our to-do list, more unkept appointments on our calendars. The first step is to repent and to refuse. You repent for submitting to work as a master, and you refuse to let culture and society value you or set your worth and identity based on your output, based on your giving, based on your doing. You refuse, because that is not your identity. See, how do we go about resting? Well, contrary to what you may believe, rest isn't just to stop working. It doesn't actually work that way. Sabbath is a discipline. It's a practice. In other words, it doesn't come naturally to us, and so we actually have to practice at it, but that's okay, because it means you can get better, right? Judith Shulevitz, who's an editor with the New York Times Book Review, wrote an article a couple of years ago titled, "Bring Back the Sabbath." Now, she grew up Jewish, and this is what she says in that article. Most people mistakenly believe that all you have to do to stop working is not work. The inventors of the Sabbath understood that it was much more complicated than that. You cannot downshift casually and easily. This is why the Puritan and Jewish Sabbaths were so exactingly intentional. The rules did not exist to torture the faithful. They were meant to communicate the insight that interrupting the ceaseless round of striving requires a surprisingly strenuous act of will, one that has to be bolstered by habit as well as by social sanction. Here's what she's saying. We have to practice at Sabbath. It's why Jews and early Puritans, among others, had so many rules as to what you could and you couldn't do. It wasn't meant to torture the people, although unfortunately it became that. It was meant to actually come out of a heart that says, I know that I can't do this well, and so I need someone to tell me and to show me how and what to rest, because it doesn't come naturally. Start by imagining your life with regular Sabbath rest. Start with Sunday, which is the most obvious choice. What do you do with those 24 hours if God forbids work? Nap in a hammock. Swing in a porch swing, sipping lemonade. Talk with friends. Turn off your phone. Deactivate a social media account that day. Turn off notifications, take off the smartwatch, catch crawfish in the creek with the kids. Well, maybe not that one, but not in Houston anyways. The Bible tells us that the Sabbath is a foretaste of the kingdom of God, where children play in the streets and everyone sits in the shade of their own vineyard. Imagine, God wants that kind of a life for us. An endless summer afternoon spent in the company of people whom we love. God says, why wait for heaven? You can start now. So rest. Rest because you're not a slave to work. Rest out of Jesus' own work on your behalf, and rest by making it a practice and discipline. Work hard, yes, but don't let work define you. For what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? I'll finish with this. Wendell Berry, the farmer poet, has this great collection of poems that he's been writing since 79, I think. It's called Sabbath Poems. And he wrote this one, part of it, the ending of one of them. The mind that comes to rest is tended in ways that it cannot intend. It's born, preserved, and comprehended by what it cannot comprehend. Your Sabbath, Lord, thus keeps us by your will, not ours. And it is fit, our only choice should be to die into that rest or out of it. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we gather for worship on this Sunday morning, we're reminded of this truth that you're a God who rests and who also provides grace to his children by your grace. And yet, how often have we submitted to the masters of work? Father, forgive us. Father, would you help us live new lives that are characterized by Sabbath, by rest? A life that is not lazy, a life that works hard, but that yet takes seriously the reality that in Christ you've given us all the identity and worth and value that we could ever want. Help us do that. Help each of my brothers and sisters here as they think about this and as they put Sabbath to practice and discipline, give them ideas and help them. Give them rest through Christ. Amen.